Welcome to Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Robert.
And I'm Ruth Ann.
And we'll be your host for the next hour. So in this show, we're going to have a discussion about communication and knowledge and how those things are changing in the new age. Just to start off in the first segment, we've actually heard this from various sources. There was an article, I think, Ruth Ann, that you saw. My father is a teacher. Well, my father and stepmother are teachers in a high school and primary school, respectively. And they were talking about how they weren't going to be teaching cursive this coming year. Ruth Ann, you saw an article about that?
Yes, and it was interesting. I think it was Newsweek, possibly. The interesting part was, you asked me, you said it to me that you thought it was interesting at the same time I had just read it. So I really think it does tie into, communication and change. I mean, when I was a kid I think most of us listening, we wrote letters and people wrote to us. We used to even, unbelievably, send bills in the mail. All our bills. Mail. And now we call it snail mail. But seriously, I know my younger kids, I got them pen pals, and they actually write letters and draw pictures to these friends. And, they've even asked me about cursive. And they want to learn cursive, and I don't even know if their school's going to teach them cursive, but we're going to teach them at home because I think it's not only great for your motor skills, but when I get letters from people, which doesn't happen often, but think about when you get a card from someone and they have actually taken the time to write in it. Now you could print, but cursive is just, there's something about that. Even just printing in the envelope or printing in the card, I mean, to me, the energy the person puts into it, comes with it.
Yeah. Well, it's true that cursive and letter writing and whatnot, and just handwriting in general, they're two different topics because, there's a lot of people that print with, or that write with print, I should say.
Right.
But yeah, cursive especially, I think cursive, I don't know the history of it, but I imagine it kind of came from the shorthand, trying to make writing faster and more attractive as
right.
well. I remember, I'm 31. I remember I learned cursive in school and, I used cursive, because when I was in school, people didn't have laptops to take notes. I actually had to write notes. I know this is a shocker,
right.
But I had to write notes
on
paper.
I know. Yeah. Poor little cramped hands.
Nowadays, people just use laptops and whatnot. But, it was very, it was tough to learn cursive for me because, I had a different kind of hand. It was tough. But cursive really did, though, help me write faster when I was taking notes. And like you said, there's something about cursive in a letter. I don't even know that cursive it is. Just a letter. I can't remember the last time, even in business, we just don't write letters much anymore.
Right. We print something off.
Personally, we don't write letters, really.
No. Well, that's why I like the pen pal idea because, I got to thinking, remember in the Bible when people would pick up the old family Bible that was generations old and there was this old, faded, probably stained or whatever, a letter from great-grandma to great-grandpa or, your grandmother to your mother or whatever. And there's something about passing down who we are. Even a letter that was written, let's say a love letter between grandparents or parents another good example would be how many of us, I don't, but there are so many that save old letters and cards.
I wish that I had, because
yes.
I had letters with friends and I wish that I'd have saved them. Not so much just it's just an oddity now to have a letter. Mm-hmm. a lot of people have computers now. When they get computers, they don't even bother getting a printer. I'll put it to you this way. The demand for printers is so low that in terms of home use that, I know this is slightly off topic, but it does make a point. We have not had in our home, in my home, I haven't had the ability to print for quite some time. I recently got a it was on sale. It was like a $50 laser printer, very, very cheap in terms of printing paper and stuff. I haven't had the ability to print paper in quite a while, and you know what? Didn't miss it much, and that's kind of a sad thing in a way because,
on the screen,
you know.
But see, we do have a printer, and we use it a lot. But here's the thing. There's not the connection between what I hit print. How many copies do I have? And I go to the other room and pick up the copies. There is not the same connection. Now, let me tell you, if I had to go write everything out that I print, I have no idea how I'd ever get it done. And that's because life has changed so much. It used to be that if you needed something, it was written out and somebody handed it to you and so forth. Or you copied it maybe in the copy machine if it was, you know, if it were when that time had come. But as far as, you know, sitting down and writing to someone, I have to say I have gotten two cards over the last, I'd say, month from two friends from a website that I visit. And I have to say those two cards, you know, one was just one of those nice type of friendship cards to say, I appreciate you. And it was in the nicest writing. And it wasn't that it was the writing was beautiful. Actually, both of the cards were. But I have to say that it was just that it made me feel so cared about that someone would sit down and write. And the cursive writing is just beautiful. I love a little block print, but the cursive writing, when someone takes the time to do it, there's an energy it's passed on. It says, I took the time to write this for you, and here you go. I put it in the mailbox, and I sent it to you. And I just wonder, you know, the energy that comes off printed pages is just different to me.
Yeah, I don't even think that when I write, my handwriting has definitely gone downhill. I mean, I've never been a particularly, you know, wonderful handwriter. But, I mean, when I wrote all the time in school and whatnot, I was much better at it. Now, I email, I do send text occasionally, but that's a whole nother topic.
Yes,
I do send email, and you know, and all that, and type so much on the computer. Use all, you know, I'm on the computer almost all the time, so I don't really write much. I recently have a little notepad on my desk, one of those little tiny ones, and I write down notes every now and then. But to be honest with you, a lot of times they end up going in text files and stuff, and you know, I think that's bad, you know, because, I mean, you know, when people it's funny because sometimes the only legacy that now we have of people, you know, the family members that have died or whatnot, is a digital legacy. And that's
right.
That's kind of sad, really.
I mean, yeah. Now, if you look up your, let's say, grandma or whatever, you look, if she does email, you know, if she uses email, I know there are a lot of older people who don't, and that's not such a bad thing necessarily. Really, there's just not the same seeing all the spam in grandma's inbox or, you know, how she wrote one email or two, or, you know, that's just not the same as seeing, you know, I know even my dysfunctional family, I've got somewhere here, I don't know where it is off the top of my head, but a very, very worn missile from my mother was Catholic, and she had this very, very old torn up missile, you know, from church. And in it, I remember seeing in my father's handwriting, he was a math type, and he wrote in, I've noticed many engineering or math types write in very tiny, precise, almost like they're drawing the blueprint of the letter. Anyway, he had a very nice, and it was a love letter to my mother. And considering my family history, I was just floored. And if he had not taken the time to write that, she had not valued it, and she had not put it in that missile, I wouldn't have ever seen it, and I wouldn't have ever even known he felt that way, to be honest.
That's true.
So, you know, I just, you know, we were talking about this, and
well, it's a piece of history. I mean, you know, nowadays, you know, you see letters and whatnot in museums, and for those of us who are, I'd say, 25 and older, maybe even 30 and older, this is, you know, people just don't – they think of postage as something that you occasionally might have to send some really backwards company that doesn't have a way to pay them online, you know?
Right,
like that's what they see postage as. And you know, I mean, there even used to be a nice, you know, what stationery people chose to use or what stamps they, you know, said about their personality. And it just, you know, and this isn't a bunch of people, you know, we're not just sitting around griping about all those young kids.
No.
It is an art form that is dying. It is sad because it is a piece of who we are, not just as a country, but as a people, really. It's like it was our best method of communication. It was what we did, and we're losing it now. And we're losing it to something that can be deleted easily by a virus or a, you know.
Yes. Well, and something, too. I mean, I think I can speak for a lot of people. I mean, how many of us have not texted or emailed or chatted or some similar digital communication? How many of us have not totally misunderstood what somebody was saying to us or, you know, said something totally innocent to somebody and it blew up? And it's because there's a difference. I really think part of it is that the energy is different when you sit and write something than when you type it in and it goes to someone. I remember when I was my husband and I, before we got together and got married, we met online. And so we talked, we chatted a lot in an old chat room, but with an old instant messaging system. And I'll tell you, there were several times when one of us would say something and we knew each other pretty well by then. And the other one totally misread what it was about because it was not personal. I mean, it's personal what you're saying, but how you're saying it, there's no intonation. And so what made me think of this, and what makes me a little bit sad, is that, you know, I think of the shamans passing on to the next shaman, passing on to their patients or clients or whatever you want to call them. I think of, you know, the grandmother sitting next to the granddaughter or next to her daughter and showing her painstakingly how to knit, showing her how to make those letters. You know, I'm not saying that we don't spend any time with our children anymore. We do the best we can, I think. But, you know, we're not as much of a community in real life, I think, as we used to be. I know this has been talked about
a lot. You mean IRL?
Yes, IRL, yes. And the reason I think we're talking about this tonight is because, you know, it begs to answer, is this part of our evolution? Is it part of, you know, how can you be spiritually awakened? I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but how does our spiritual development relate to becoming more isolated, relate to not having our history the same way? I have no clue what my grandmothers did, to be honest with you. Well, I knew one of them, but the other one, I have no clue. I never met her. I have no letters from her. I don't know anything about her. And I think that could go for, you know, a sizable amount of people on the planet now.
Well, so, yeah, you know, I could imagine younger people saying, you know, well, yeah, if they're not in my Facebook friends or they're Google Plus friends or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean because really too, that is a method people are using to communicate now, and there's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just that, you know, people have come to rely on it, and let's face it, typing is generally faster than writing.
Oh, it's faster
in a lot of ways. You don't have to use your hand. You know, I mean, you do use your hand, but you don't have to go hunt down paper. You don't have to find a pen. And once you've written it down, then you've got to get it to them. You have to spend money. You have to spend time. Of course, you know, there's something to that, though. If you spend money or time in getting something to somebody, that shows you cared, you know. Mm-hmm.
That they were going to turn your lights off if you didn't.
Yeah, well, that too. If you're going to mail a bill, sure. But I mean, hey, even when it comes to mailing bills and whatnot, that's kind of becoming passe. Right. I mean, you know, I don't mail bills really anymore. The only thing I really do is send. You know, I pay everything online, and so what's the? I mean, it's really silly how it's gotten in a way. We've lost a lot of personal touch.
And you look at so many people do online banking, and I was, you know, I don't know how many people I've talked to who said, you know, I'm not sure the bank has a clue what's in there, what's pending, what's out, what's coming back, and it used to be that you could call down. I mean, our bank has a telephone number, of course, but you could call down and call to the same person you talked to any other day or one of the two or three and ask them, hey, did that check clear? And that teller knew exactly what was going on, where the money was. And now everything has grown so much. And I think a lot of it comes.
When you get sent to a call center.
Yes, and I remember a postcard that I had, or my I don't know, mother or sister, or I think my sister had, from when I was a child, and it was addressed to my grandmother's name, and then it said Arcadia, Florida, and that was the whole address. And it was just, it was.
And it
just
got there, probably, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it got there. It was one she had, you know, that we got when she died. But I just, you know, to me, I just wonder how much of the energy of community and communication and the web of life, even, are we losing that? Are we evolving to a place where it's going to change? I mean, I don't know about you, but I am not complaining about the internet. Believe me, it is our business, and I.
Well, we're talking over it right now. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, we're talking to you right now over the internet. I mean,
right, so we can't
if it wasn't for that. yeah. I mean, it's.
But, you know, and we'd love to hear your opinions on this later on the show. We're going to open up the phone line, see what you think about what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, is this helping us to I don't know, evolve would be the word? Is this, how does this relate? Does it matter? I mean, think of all the overload of communications we get from all over the planet. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? You know, it all goes back to this cursive being taught. To me, personally, I see one little child writing a letter at a desk, to grandma writing a letter, to me writing it, to my friends sending me those beautiful cards they send, to me just writing emails to people. I mean, it's – and then you go print something out, and then – I don't know. It's just – it's a totally different world.
Mm-hmm. It is. And you know, I mean – I mean, we're moving into a new age, both metaphysically and physically in timeline.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we are moving into the digital era. We're moving into the age of Aquarius. We're moving into all these different types of new things. And I think, I make my living from the digital age, so I cannot complain about that. And I'm not complaining about it. But there was a time. But there was a time where we mixed the digital age and. Yeah. The traditional age, and that's the time I grew up in. Unfortunately, it was a young adult, and now, unfortunately, it's just become we have completely lost that touch to it. Our business, we don't send out paper invoices. I'll admit,
no, we don't. Two out of all of our customers.
Yeah.
And that's because they're schools and they require one. But otherwise, no. And you know, is that a bad thing? I don't know. I mean, I remember too on invoices when businesses used to give little notes at the bottom. Thanks so much. You know, or thanks so much for your business, or is there anything we could do for you? You know, things like that.
Right.
And it's different.
Right, absolutely. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, and then we'll come back to our second segment. We're going to talk about the knowledge in the new age, and is it going to be free? And then we're going to open up the phone lines for the third segment, and we want to hear from you. So we'll be back right after this.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more, or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com, or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
And we're back. For the second segment, we're going to talk about knowledge being free, the Napster cause of generation. We were just talking over the break about those file sharing services back at, you know, they kind of started the whole thing. I think they started the idea that everything should be free and we should just go get it anytime we want. And, of course, I mean, that's not really, in my opinion, I don't think that's really a good thing to do, a good attitude to have. I mean, But see, that directly conflicts with the New Age / I don't even want to use that word really, the metaphysical kind of movement where we try to open up our knowledge, share it freely. I mean, they're in direct contradiction. Right. I'll be honest, I don't quite know how to reconcile those two.
Well, you know, I had a little bit of that conflict today. I was reading, I was reading some different Reiki sites, and one of them, the site, I think it was a blog or something, a blog, and she had posted all the Reiki symbols for anybody that's into Reiki. You know, some teachers teach you not to talk about them, and I mean, unless you're teaching them, and to not draw them for people who aren't Reiki people, and that they're secret and sacred and so forth. And then some schools of thought teach that, look, it's if you don't know how to use them or you're not attuned to use them, then it really doesn't hurt anything, doesn't matter. I mean, you wouldn't want to throw something on the floor and stomp on it, but that would be for, you know, anything else that you valued either. But my point is that, you know, some people that posted on those on that blog were talking about how, you know, all information should be out there and free. And there were a few people that posted and said, no one should be charging for anything, any kind of healing, any kind of communication, any kind of programming. All of those things should be free. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. Who are we to put values on all those things? And it's a real conflict.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, what if you suggested these people that said that they should go to work the next day and they should tell their boss, you know what? I'm not mm-hmm. going to charge you. Yes. I think this should be free, and I'm just going to be here. I don't think too many people would do that. You know,
right.
I mean, even if you love your work, you've got to pay your bills. You've got to meet your expenses, and I mean that we don't like to. You know, when we're talking about metaphysics and we're talking about all these different kind of things, we don't want to talk about money. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I hear it all the time, and you know, when different people in the field speak, you know, they don't want to say. I can hear it in their voice. They don't want to say, "And my DVD is $39.95." I mean, because you know, I know they may be thinking, "Well, that's maybe, you know, they'll just think I'm trying to sell something." I mean, in a way, you are. They have knowledge. They're trying to share it with you, and they deserve to be compensated for that. They're providing you a service. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the world works currently in money for whether that's a good thing or not is completely another discussion. But
yes,
it is how it is right now.
Yes, and I was I've talked to a few clients that Reiki clients that you know and let them know that if someone truly cannot afford to come to Reiki and has a real need. That person is not going to be refused. Something is going to be worked out. And I think that helps too. That the attitude, and let me put it this way, it still values what I'm doing, the time, the effort, the training, the materials. But it doesn't, if you come to a point when money is truly the most important thing, then you've lost sight of the whole point of anything metaphysical.
Well, you know, I've been told that I shouldn't be a doctor or vet or something because I'd go broke, and it's probably true. But because, you know, I wouldn't want to see a person or an animal, you know, in need and not be able to do anything. But
yes, I would too.
Yeah, or say I can't. And I'm not putting down people for refusing.
No.
I mean, because, you know, I charge my clients too for website work and whatnot. But here's the thing. Like, I mean, if I have had people come to me and say, you know, I really need to get this going. I can't afford it. I mean, I'll work with them sometimes. I mean, best I can, you know. I mean, right. There's even been cases where I've done stuff for free in exchange. And I love to barter. I really do. I love that kind of thing. I think you get a lot. I think when you barter, you remove the negative aspect of the negative energy that surrounds money from it. And I think you really have a really good exchange. As long as both parties, you know what they're exchanging.
Right. And with these the songs, you know, and the information,
speaking of Casa and Napster,
sharing the open source code that you can, you know, just download and use. It's a hard thing on that too. I hate to charge for anything. Look, let me tell you, money is my least favorite subject, and I truly wish that we could just all say, hi there, let me help you with this. Let me hand you here. Want some of my sandwich? Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, we all have bills to pay. But I think you made a point at the beginning of the segment about some having the attitude of, well, everything should be free. And it's kind of an entitlement attitude. And we are not discussing gear politics. We're not discussing anything like that. I'm just saying, and we are just talking about how – you know, how is that related? How is that affecting? Is it helping our spiritual development? You know, how do you progress with this? You know, well, there's not really. I don't know the answer.
Well, you know, I'm a software developer, and I've written both where I've worked on projects for clients. I've written commercial projects, and I've written I've worked with free and open source software. And you know, when it comes to free and open source software, the owners of the code, they're giving it, you know, the project, they're giving it to you. You know, you can use these things, and you don't have to pay for, and that's because they own it and they're giving it to you. In the case of a commercial work, though, I mean, in my opinion, you know, I think if the person who creates the work decides to charge for it, I mean, I think they're entitled to collect on it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, yes, I'd love for knowledge to be free for everybody. But like you said, people do have to pay their bills. And if you decide that the work that you're doing, you need to be compensated for, you know, it's really up to you about that decision, right? I mean, because you could come from different aspects and say, well,
that's right.
I've seen different things though. I've seen places where they, you know, they've said, there's a report that I read from time to time. It's really affordable, but they also offer it, if somebody, and I like that idea because, you know, I'm sure someone who needs it, They offer it for free or to reduce price if you're unemployed or, you know, something like that. And I think that's a great idea. That preserves their right to be compensated for the people that can afford it. And for the people that can't, who still need the information, then they can get it. And I think something like that works well. I mean, I like that kind of model myself.
Yes. And you know, we are talking about the knowledge, you know, do we have a right to withhold that? Yeah.
Are you withholding knowledge if you charge for it? That, you know, I mean,
well, yes. And here's the way I look at that. I mean, this wasn't really, you know, we didn't want to talk about this for the, you know, for me to explain why I would charge for something or why we would charge for our business. That wasn't really the point. But I think the reason we're discussing this is, you know, when I teach Reiki, let's say, I just choose this because that's something I do and I have a frame of reference for it. But I don't charge for the knowledge I give. When I taught school, it wasn't because I was charging them, you know, to teach them, you know, earth science or biology. It was because I was getting paid because of the time I took to learn it and the money I had to pay to learn it, the time I take away from my family. I have to make arrangements. I have to, you know, you have to be clothed. You have to have a place to live, your car to get where you've got to go. And so for me personally, I feel like I charge for everything around the knowledge. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, the knowledge itself, in a way, it's more your time yes. and your energy. And I think this relates to what we were talking about in the first segment, too, because, you know, I think I'm afraid that if we go to a generation, like you said, of entitlement where they think that all knowledge should be free, well, then that's kind of scary, because if that's the case, then does that mean that everybody's time should be, you know, free? And I don't mean free in terms of money. I mean free in terms, you know, when people wrote letters to each other. Yeah, when people wrote letters to each other, there was a careful, thought-out, contemplative energy that was put into those. Yes. And it was out of consideration. It was, you know, they cared about someone enough to do it. And if we let that go into the idea of sharing knowledge and whatnot, you know, like I said, I want to share knowledge as much as possible, but we've got to also be realistic and appreciative of the people that share it. You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's just something that I wouldn't dream of asking someone to give me some knowledge without giving them something in return, even if it's just some knowledge of mine in return.
Or even, you know, a big thing that is important to me that I show is respect for that knowledge that someone gives me. And I may not give them, you know, $20 for the fact, but saying thank you, I appreciate your time, and wow, I never thought of that. You know, that right there is an exchange, I think. So I there are so many things. It depends on what it is. Is that someone's livelihood? Is it a hobby? Is it, you know, is the person an expert, or, you know, has the person learned what needs to be exchanged? But I do wonder, you know, there are so many that automatically assume in the field of, let's say, healing or the feeling or the areas of things that are not quite as tangible. I mean, for instance, if I need a shovel, I would never think of going to the store and saying, give me a shovel. I know that they expect payment for the shovel, and I wouldn't think of not paying them for it. They cut the tree down if it's wooden. They, you know, shaped it, painted it, attached it. There's labor. There's keeping the lights on in the factory. You know, we could go on and on. The salaries. So, of course, I'm going to pay them for the shovel. But when things are a little bit more intangible, for instance, let's say you go to a Tibetan monk at the top of a mountain in Tibet.
Well, services, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's say you go up there and he sits there for 2 hours and he talks to you and he shares his wisdom with you. Well, I'm sure he has a lot more than 2 hours with, but he gives you an audience and he talks to you and he tells you what he feels will help you spiritually and so forth. Is that right to charge for that? I mean, I know you do pay for that very dearly for that kind of situation. I don't know the answer whether it's right or wrong. I just wonder you know, what does that have to do with our spirituality and our moving forward, our evolving, our being closer to whatever source we're looking for or the universe?
Well, yeah, would you, I personally would not feel comfortable taking knowledge from someone without offering them something in return. I mean, they may, as I have, refuse payment or say, you know, don't worry about it, it's okay. I mean, in that case, they're choosing that it's a choice for them. But I still... And I think most people, I don't think I'm alone in that. I think most people, it's not an obligation feeling. It's more just, you know, it's just a return in kind kind of feeling, you know, pass it along kind of thing.
You're right. When you said that, it made me think of when I do, back to the teaching Reiki again, it's just what I do the most. When I sit and I'm talking to students, I'll tell you, they don't realize what they give me in return. They give me the satisfaction of knowing that I can share this, that I can help empower people to help themselves. They're listening to my passion. And so that to me is a gift. And yes, I do have to charge for the class, but there's also another exchange. It's an exchange of appreciation and respect. It's an exchange of the energy. So it's on several different levels.
Well, yeah, even if it's not, something you're particularly passionate about. I mean, people do things for people all the time.
Yes, very much.
You know, it's still is – Well, it does help if you love what you do, of course. But even if it's just a favor for someone, I mean, I think in general, most people, like I said, are definitely returning kind that favor and feel like it. It's not like an obligation. It's more like I'll do it if, you know, gosh, this person did something nice for me. I want to return that favor. And I think most
people
are.
And that's an exchange, and that's just as valuable as, you know, there have been many times.
It's more valuable than money because you don't have all the negative karma and energy tied to money.
Right,
so, you know, I mean, hey, if I would love a world, I mean, it's not practical in a lot of ways, but it would be wonderful if we could all barter. I mean, like I said, it would be tough because what if you need to go to a dentist and, like, you do?
He doesn't happen to eat any chickens.
That's
all I have.
I'm obviously that brings a lot of problems, but you know, but the idea of money definitely does bring a lot of negativity to this the thing. And like I said, in metaphysics, nobody wants to talk about money. You know, when it comes to, but you know, like Ruth Ann doing Reiki or you know, people that lecture or have DVDs.
Right,
that,
inspirational,
you know,
speaking.
I've listened to countless speakers, you know, and whatnot. And I was just listening to a podcast, it was filmed or recorded about a year ago, actually, last night. Very talented and gifted researcher that I love listening to. He was, you know, saying, or, you know, the interviewer was saying, you know, go to a site, buy a DVD. You know, it's mm-hmm. a way of saying thank you. You know, he can go and get him a cup of coffee or and nowadays you can, for $30, I think you can get a cup of coffee, but
you can almost get a Starbucks now.
you can get one at McDonald's maybe for that, but
seriously,
you know, he can take that and really put it to use. And it's not saying, okay, you know, I'm going to take this and this is an even exchange and here we go. You know, it's more just a thank you. That's what it is. It's a thank you.
Yes, I would agree. And on that note, we are opening up the phone lines when we come back, and we're going to go to a break in just a moment here. And when we do, we are going to open the phone lines when we come back. And so let us know what you think on what we're talking about tonight. The number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756.
And we'll give it coming back from the break.
We'll give it to you again, but just so you can be prepared and think about, you know, if you, we'd love to hear from you. And hey, absolutely. Remember, we're here to learn from you too and to learn from each other. And, you know, as you may have noticed, we sure don't have all the answers. You know, I talk to so many different people and it's very interesting to me. There's a phenomenon that I've noticed. And this is not disparaging any group of people, but it's just what I've noticed. I've noticed that the people who have nothing much as in the way of money seem to value, I mean, seem to so totally want to give. And they may not have money to give, but they want to give. And I've noticed that
as a general rule. I mean,
I'm not saying that all people who have nothing want to give. I'm just saying, and I am not saying that people who have a lot of money don't want to give. But what I'm saying is it seems like there is a value put on when someone doesn't have that money in hand. It changes sometimes the way the person – the person seems to feel a natural urge.
It changes the intention.
To compensate in some other way, to show you the appreciation in some other way. And I'm not saying money's not, you know, very appreciative. Also, when I need that, I need that. But I just think that it's very interesting that when money is not available, the whole dynamic changes.
Absolutely. You know, I definitely agree.
And on that note, we've got to go for just a moment, and we'll be right back. And remember, the number is 888-815-9756, and we'd love to hear from you, so give us a call, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma. And it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann, and I'm here with Robert. And we've been talking this evening basically about communication and how our methods of communication have changed over the generations and the years. And we've talked about everything from cursive writing not being taught anymore in many areas to how we don't sit and write letters as we used to. And we've been talking about all these things related to how has that changed our community feeling, our being connected to each other, our spiritual development. Has it made a difference in that? Has it isolated us? Are we more connected because we can talk to each other? We can text. We can, you know, we can send emails at the drop of a hat. Or are we losing something by not sitting and writing each other thank you cards and letters? I mean, are we losing history? Are we losing our connection to each other? Are these things going to be forgotten unless somebody happened to, you know, write a blog post about them?
Well,
so
yeah,
we'd like to hear your opinions too.
Yeah, the digital archive of all our thoughts. You know, I mean, it's quickly growing in the internet. You know, archive.org. You know, archive.org. It records all the different pages, and changes over time. But it's just not the same as a handwritten copy. And you know, as much as an IT person as I am, I can't believe I'm saying that, but it really is true. I'm going to give you the number again, just because we'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on this topic. And it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. But we've definitely really covered the whole the whole gambit of knowledge. I think the cursive writing kind of ties in very well with the knowledge sharing aspect because it is part of communication. And it is a manifestation of how communication has changed.
Yes, you know, that made me think what you just said. We went my husband and two girls and I went out to eat back several months ago, and it was someone's birthday at the table next to us or behind us, and the restaurant makes a point of coming out and taking a Polaroid picture for you and singing happy birthday. And I just think that's marvelous. But here is what really disturbed me. Okay, it was two teenagers and the parents, apparently. And the two teenagers spent the whole meal texting, playing video games on their, on their whatever it was they had, the whole time. I think they looked up at their parents maybe twice. And it was very interesting. Even my small children noticed this because they said to us, we don't allow that at the table. And they said, why they don't talk to each other. And the parents, this is what really blew me away. The parents looked to be in their 40s maybe. Mm-hmm. Both had their cell phones out texting. And at one point I heard husband say to the wife, I don't know why we're texting. We're sitting across the table from each other. And I thought,
So the husband was texting with the wife?
Yes. And the two kids were on their games or texting. I think the girl was texting. The boy was playing, you know, one of those little cell phone type video games. And the parents were texting each other. Now, it was the son's birthday. He looked like he was maybe 15 or so. It was his birthday. I am not exaggerating. When the restaurant people came out to take the picture and sing him happy birthday, gave him a little cupcake or whatever they do with a candle, he didn't even look up. The picture they took would have been of him looking down at his game, and the parents didn't look up. And then when they were finished, they looked over at him and they said, "Well, are you ready to go?" And he said, "Huh?" And they said, "Oh, well, wasn't that a nice meal?" And I thought, you guys have no clue what you ate. You didn't say one word to each other, and all four of you had electronic devices through the whole meal. Now, how is that community anymore?
It's nice to spend time with your family texting, and you know that. Yes, it's a shame. Yeah, it's a real shame. I mean, back when, before electricity. And I don't remember those times, but back before electricity, you know, people, when they had dinner, families would have dinner, everybody talked. I mean, it was either that or they didn't communicate because
there was no. You talked and grabbed food before it was gone.
Well, right. But there, you know, you didn't have a chance to, otherwise. And you had to communicate. And I don't want to force anybody to do anything, but it really seems a shame. I don't believe that becoming more digitally connected is really – I just don't see. I mean, and this is completely my perspective, but I don't see how that is tied together or would help facilitate a more spiritually awakened mind. Maybe I'm completely wrong and missing something here. And like I said, I work in this field, you know, so I'm not anti-technology in any way.
No, I'm not either.
We're on an internet radio talk show.
Right.
You're listening to us on the internet. So, but still, I just don't think that it is a replacement for human communication.
Right.
Even phone calls are becoming a thing of the past. I mean, at least with a phone call, you can hear people's voice. You can hear the inflections.
Right.
And even those things are becoming a thing of the past, and that is horrible. You know, I was talking. I can tell you this: I was talking with a friend, and I said, you know, I've got an idea for an invention. Let's make it where when you text, like the third text that you send and get back, it forcefully calls that person you're texting to. That would be, I was kidding. I was kidding in a way, but, in a half a way I wasn't, because it'd be nice to have that human touch again.
And I agree. And let me say, just for the record for me too, I am so glad that the family was able to communicate if they needed to by those digital devices. Right. I just wonder, okay, when they go home, you know, as those kids get older, I just wonder, will there be that same bond, as far as, I'm not saying they're not wonderful parents and they're not wonderful kids, don't get me wrong, but I'm just wondering, is their soul or spiritual bond, is it going to be different because their meals, I don't know if that's how they are out. I don't know how they are home, and I would never, try to judge that because I have no clue. But my thought is most people behave better when they're in public when they do at home. So, I would be kind of surprised, to be honest, if that's not kind of their norm. They didn't seem surprised.
No, that's probably very – and it's not that what you mentioned was an unusual case. And, I'm not –
It was kind of extreme, but,
I don't know. I mean, and I'm not trying to cast judgment on anybody. I mean, I'm not trying to say that what I'm thinking is superior to any other way of doing things because – I mean, obviously everybody's right. It's just when I look at that kind of situation, like what you described, it really makes me wonder what the future. I mean, we might as well just not even talk. I mean,
you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go over there. I really had this urge to go over there and say, "Close your eyes, everybody. Now, Mom and Dad, can you tell me what your kids are wearing today? Kids, can you tell me what color your parents' eyes are?" And I just would be – that's not judging.
They can look on their profile. Well, no, they
just
can look on
their, see, you know,
they can
if –
look on their profile and see what color eyes they have.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. But here's the thing. Let's say the son went missing. How on earth would Mom and Dad describe what he had on, He was last seen wearing a cell phone.
Let's extrapolate that a little further. Let's say the son went missing. Yeah, how could they describe what he had on? Let's say the actual son went missing. Would they notice? I mean, because the reason I say this is because
well, they didn't notice the flash in their faces. Nobody even stopped.
You see people walking down the street. You know, they're looking into their devices and stuff. And I don't know why we don't have an epidemic of people running into each other. I really don't. I mean, somehow we all managed to not walk into each other.
Well, but that reminds me. I just saw too. I think it was online, ironically enough, on the news. I was reading there, and it said they are starting in some places to fine or wanting to fine people for texting while walking because so many people are falling into fountains and walking into things and getting and they really just. I mean, seriously, where have we gone?
That's ridiculous.
I mean,
these are wonderful technologies. I've got a cell phone. I do text on occasion. I'm not trying to say that these are bad technologies. I mean,
I remember watching
sci-fi as a kid, and in Star Trek and whatnot, you know, they had the communication devices, and I think how nice it would be to have them. Well, now we have them. We pretty much have the equivalent of a communicator walking around with us all the time, and yes, it is cool. But I never considered what the negative aspect to human communication they would have. I really never did.
Really, in some ways, it's wonderful. I mean, if you have a car goes into the ravine and you've got your cell phone and you happen to all the way as you roll over and over, keep your grip on it, you can call and tell the police I'm at the bottom of the ravine. And you know, there have been many times when people, their tire blew on their car or it broke down or the kids were sick, and cell phones or phones or the internet, for that matter, have been wonderful. So I'm not saying they're not. But I guess I just wonder, do you think, if you didn't get to call in tonight and you'd like to share with us, you can come to our website. You can go to wellroundedcorners.com and, leave us a comment. We update it every week, and we'll have the archive of our show on it. We have them, our podcasts and our archives, and let us know what you think if you didn't get to call in tonight. I mean, we definitely appreciate the technology. We just wonder how it affects our connection to each other, our connection actually to ourselves. Hey, I have known a lot of people too who, order their dinner when they're out and they didn't look at the waitress. That doesn't make it evil either.
The waitress could have been an alien.
Right.
And they might not have been. That kind of brings the question that, it makes you wonder if alien, you've always heard the parrot, well, not always, but, a common thing people say is like aliens showing up on the White House lawn. I wonder if we're going to get to a point where if aliens really did show up on the White House lawn, first of all, I guess there'd be a flurry of texts, but I don't know. I mean, people would have to be looking up to see it, and so it.
One thing that would happen: lots of cell phone pictures.
Well, that's true.
There'd be tons. Look what I'm saying, he has six arms.
it would be on Facebook and Twitter within minutes. Yeah, but yeah, it's funny. When natural disaster and stuff have been happening. They've been putting, Twitter is often the first thing for that, it's really wonderful. I mean, it used to be weeks or months before news of a war, let's say, got to another side of the planet. They may not even know, but nowadays,
that could be good, but yes, it is good.
Well, let's take 9/11 for example. Within minutes, pretty much the entire connected world knew, and then the third world countries probably knew within a couple of days, really. Yeah. If not that day. So I mean, nowadays, if that had happened 300, 400 years ago, then it would have taken months to decide.
Yeah, they knew to ground the airplanes. They knew to take other security precautions. So I mean, it saved a lot of lives, and we're sure not complaining on that. No. I just I just wonder too. I have noticed I always get energy from people everywhere I go, and kind of read their energy. I don't mean to, it just happens, but I've noticed when people are focused on their electronic devices, their energy is completely different. It's all focused into the machine. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, and I just wonder, those energetic connections we have with our family and friends, hey, we could say they're not the same, but on the other hand, the changes are here, and they are coming, and people are, being metaphysical now is much more accepted to be more aware. And so obviously it's not damaging that.
Now the irony of it is, I mean, you know, we're coming to the close of our show, and you know, when Ruth Ann gives you the information to go to our website and go to iTunes and whatnot, I know it's going to sound ironic because we've been talking about losing the personal touch with communications,
yes.
and we're going to give you website addresses and iTunes addresses and all and this that, kind of stuff, and you're listening to us on internet. I realize the irony of all this, but we're not saying let's get rid of the technology. Let's use it in a more way that let's use it in a way that where we as humans can more spiritually, socially, and emotionally connect with each other, and do that. I mean, let's try to put back. I mean, even if we all can just do one thing a day, to connect with somebody in the real physical realm, you know, it'd be nice. I just want to say this before we go. I you know, with my grandmother. There's often been times, you know, I talk to her on the phone, but there's often been times where I was like, I wish she had email, or I wish I could text her or something like that. And now I think, well, and upon further consideration, I thought, you know what, maybe it's a good thing she doesn't. It really is.
Yes. Yes, that's totally true. And, you know, when I'm working at my computer and my kids come up to me, I tend to start to talk while I'm typing to them. And then I have gotten into the habit of stopping typing, turning around, looking them in the eyes, and listening and looking at them. And it's a huge difference in what our communication is.
Absolutely.
So that's just something to think about. How is it affecting you? Let us know. Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, just to let you know.
This will be, you know, this will be on the site tomorrow. So leave us a comment.
Yes. Yes.
Let us know what you think.
So. That's right. And just to let all of you know, we'll be releasing a podcast by the end of next week on healing. So that's going to be our next topic. And it'll be on our wellroundedcorners.com website as well as iTunes. So you won't want to miss that. I think that'll be really interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's it for tonight. And we'll see you back live on Tuesday, August 2nd at 9 p.m. on Station 1 of BBS Radio and its affiliates. And please don't forget to check out our website. I just told you the same. I'll tell you again, just in case you've forgotten that 2 seconds, wellroundedcorners.com. And our archives, there I go, for free. They're for free on the site, and articles will be on there between shows. You can find us on iTunes when you search Well-Rounded Corners. And we'll see you next on August 2nd. And we have really enjoyed sharing with you. And
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So we hope that you guys, everybody out there, have a wonderful couple of weeks. And come visit the site. And meanwhile, we'll be chatting and texting each other.
Yeah, have a good night.